As Elsie's been helping us to think about, we're moving into a new school year. It's September. A lot of people will be starting back at school in the coming days, this week, or maybe just a few next week. People getting ready to head off to university. All sorts of change and transition going on. And it's a time, of course, where if you're on Facebook or any kind of social media, then this is the kind of thing you'll be seeing. This is the kind of thing you'll be seeing a lot of as you move into kind of national stand your child in front of a door week. there'll be plenty of that going on. But it's kind of a time as well. The calendar year, some of us think about these kind of things and kind of take some time to evaluate, often in quite a personal way. And as we move into January, we often think about a lot of personal things. But as we move into September, for those who are involved in the kind of academic world in any way, it's often a time where you begin to kind of reevaluate things in different ways. You see people moving up onto new stages, people moving up into new school years, reflecting on how things have changed. And of course, for those who are in the world of education or going off to university, you'll get a lot of kind of rethinking who we are and kind of restating values and what this place of study is meant to be about. And as we move into kind of a new season in that sense, for us as a church, we want to take a moment to just pause and remind ourselves, well, as a church, what is it that we want to be about? Actually, what is most important to us? What is our mission as a church? And we have a mission statement in the life of our church. You may well know something of it, but it begins with this. It begins by saying, the way we aim to glorify God is. Because actually, the main thing we want to be about together as a church and individually as we follow Christ is to bring glory to God. Above and before anything else, actually what we want to do in all that we do is to be doing things that will bring glory to God. And as a church, we've kind of worked out a number of years ago now, sort of three specific things as ways of kind of grouping together what it is that we want to be doing to bring glory to God. And they're these, that we want to offer a welcome for the whole world, that we want to be a witness to the whole world, and that we want to enable worship from the whole world. And Elsie's already been helping us think this morning about actually the diversity that we have in the life of the church, that we come from all sorts of different nations and backgrounds, and that the flags represent something of that. And it's something that we see in Slough. We recognise we've got this opportunity to welcome, to witness and bring worship from the whole world right on our doorstep in the community around us. And we've been saying actually over the last year how we want to grow in that too. How actually we want to grow and better reflect the community around us. Elsie read from us from Acts chapter 2, the end of Acts chapter 2, from verse 42. You might like to open it in a Bible if you've got one, or one of the church Bibles. It's page 1094. And at the end of this kind of, at the end of Acts chapter 2, the church has really just begun. We've seen Pentecost. We've seen a whole bunch of people become believers. And we get this little summary written by Luke here, of kind of the life of the church at this point. A little summary, kind of stopping and taking stock and just looking at, well, what's going on in the life of the first church, the early church here? What does their life look like together? And we get just these few verses. And as we look at this, and I looked at this, I thought, well, it's got a lot to teach us about our welcome, our witness, and our worship. But by all means, this morning, we're not going to cover everything that we mean when we talk about welcome, witness, and worship of the church and everything about our mission. That would be a really long sermon, and you'll be pleased that I'm not going to do that. So when you think, oh, we didn't talk about this and we do that, or we didn't cover this kind of thing, it's because actually what I want to do this morning is look at what this passage says about welcome, witness, and worship. Well, actually, what this passage can help us understand about what we should be doing as a church. And actually, it begins by something that is foundational to us. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, it says in verse 42. That they devoted themselves to God's word, to what we would now consider the New Testament, to what was passed on from the apostles to them. That actually what we do and how we do it, what as a church we want to be about, as we begin to answer that question, at the heart of it should begin by looking at God's word, to be based upon God's word. The members over the last year have been thinking a bit about our values and what are some of the things that are most important to us. And one of the things that came out really clearly as we looked at that together as members was that we were Bible-based. That in the things that we do, in the way that we do things, we want it to be based upon what God says in his word. God's word is our guide. And we need to continue to learn from it. We need to continue to be shaped by it. Or we'll be shaped by other things. If you were here over the summer, you might remember how we had that little illustration of a balloon that was not very well filled, just to have a little bit of air in it. And it was very easy to force that into a box. You could force it into another shape. And it's the same for us, that unless we're filled by something, unless we're filled by God's word and his spirit, then we'll easily be shaped by the pressures in the world around us. And actually, as we look at God's word, and as actually we live accordingly to what he says in his word, we'll begin to glorify him, that actually we'll worship him in the way that we're living. Actually, that's part of our worship in the world. When we talk about bringing worship from the whole world, we're not talking simply about coming together and singing. We're not talking simply about coming together and what we do together here on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. When we talk about worship, it's about so much more than that. When we talk about worship, it includes actually our study of the Bible. It includes actually coming to God's word and allowing it to shape us. Our daily study of the Bible and applying it to our lives, that's part of our worship. As we study the Bible together, that's part of our worship. Someone once said that if you really want to grow spiritually, you need to connect relationally. That actually we grow best when we come together and we look at God's word with one another. That's why it's part of the life of the church and the things that we do. It's why we encourage everyone to be part of studying the Bible with other people. Whether that's in one of the home groups or part of CBSI, that meets on a Monday morning. Or we're working on developing some new groups, discipleship groups at the moment, which are quite focused and intentional groups of people committing to meet together, to study the Bible together, and to grow as disciples, to help one another do that, to hold one another accountable for how we respond to what God's word says. And that's something that over the next year we'll be seeing more of in the life of the church. But actually we need to meet together to do these things. And we see as we look at this little passage in Acts, actually how much the church were meeting together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread. They met together, they gathered together, and they shared in what we would often call communion now. That the cross was central to their worship. That actually at the heart of their worship, it was about Jesus. About being devoted to coming together and remembering, as they broke bread together, what Jesus had done on the cross. The defining feature of their community, of their life together, was Jesus. Was what he had done on the cross. He was the centre of their faith and life. And that led to them meeting together. And actually we see that they met together in a variety of ways. They read about them meeting together in the temple courts in somewhere that would have been a larger gathering, would have been a lot of other people there too, and something that's much more public. And that they met together as well in their homes, in what would have been a smaller gathering, in what would have been a more private affair. They had a variety in how they were meeting together. And odd enough, it was in those smaller and more private gatherings rather than the kind of more bigger and public like this that they broke bread together. But of course, the key thing about what they were doing was that they met every day. Every day, they were meeting together. They were sharing with one another. And actually here, their worship and their fellowship begin to merge into one. They gathered together, they shared with one another. And as part of their meeting together, they worship God with one another. And similarly for us, our worship and our welcome begin to come together. As we meet together, as we worship God with one another, and we offer a welcome for the whole world. They met together regularly. They met together daily, we read about. When we talk about welcome, we're not just talking about shaking hands as someone comes in the door. We're not just saying hello to someone when they're new. In the same way, when we talk about worship, we're not just talking about singing some songs. Welcome is so much more than just shaking the hands of a new person. Actually, when we look at our verse for the year about welcoming one another as Christ has welcomed you, Jesus has done so much more for us. Jesus has welcomed me in such a greater way than saying, oh, hi, Andy. Jesus has done so much more in welcoming us. The welcome that we offer to one another is to be so much greater than hello and how are you. Actually, when we talk about welcome, we're talking about growing in depth of relationship, growing in depth of love for one another. What we read about the early church here and their relationship with one another in verses 44 to 46. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together. This was a bit more than just hanging around after a church service and having a cup of coffee. This was a real depth of common life. This really was living together as a Christian family, living together as the family of God. Last Sunday I was away, and there were a bunch of us who were away at a festival called Soul Survivor. Some of us had taken some of the young people from church there. And there's this kind of strange thing that happens. I think it happens generally if you're camping somewhere anyway. It was a camping thing, which I know would scare some people in the first instance. But it's the kind of thing that happens a bit when you camp, but particularly when you spend a whole bunch of time together and when you begin to worship with one another. That actually through the week, and I've seen it again and again when we've done these kind of things and done these camps over the years, that actually you kind of start off in the beginning of the week and everyone's a bit kind of maybe a little bit quiet. Some people are really excited maybe because they've been there before, but this is kind of just kind of going along. And as the week goes on, things start to change. And the place that I notice it most of all is when we sit and when we eat together. Because suddenly you've gone from, you know, you might just see each other once a week, or we see the young people for a couple of hours on a Sunday night, and suddenly you've gone to actually being together a lot of hours of the day, and eating three meals together in a day. And it's this thing that goes on. From the beginning of the week, you sit down, you have a meal, and everyone kind of then clears up and packs up and clears off. And at the end of the week, it's kind of, we're all just sat around chatting. And everyone's just talking to one another. And then suddenly, it's probably me, looks at the time and goes, ah, we've just all been sitting around chatting, and actually we need to tidy up and get on to the next thing. And there's this community that builds up just through eating together, spending time with one another, being open with each other and worshipping God together. And there's this sense of family that develops. And you see weird things start to happen and people start sharing things and talking about stuff and sharing their possessions and crying a little bit. And it all gets a bit strange. There's this family that builds up and this intimacy. And you see that here in the early church as they spent time together. They gave to each other. They sold property and gave to those who had need. Sometimes people read this and think, well, did they all sell everything they had and just kind of bought it in communally? Which it doesn't seem to be the case, because they still met in each other's homes. So clearly some people still owned property. But they seem to have this radical decision, which to us today is probably completely radical. So much more even than it was for them. That they valued people above possessions. That actually they lived out already what's written in 1 John 3:17. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? That actually they were willing to give up things that they had to help others who were in need. Our welcome means so much more than a handshake at the door. We welcome one another as Christ has welcomed us. And perhaps we can do that for one another. We can grow in that depth of relationship where people have needs. And I'm not just talking about financial or practical, but emotional and spiritual. Actually, we can grow in depth of relationship with each other and help one another. And perhaps we can do that not just locally as the church here, but perhaps we can do that nationally, globally too. We just heard this morning about our cause for the month, which is to help this month Christian refugees who've fled and are trying to settle in the UK. Perhaps we can help those, our brothers and sisters, who have so little and need so much. But that, of course, that kind of welcome, that kind of attitude towards church can be very difficult. If we've grown up or experienced for a long time an attitude of church as being somewhere that you go to, of church is about being part of a church, is about going to church. And if we've got that kind of attitude and that kind of mindset built into us, which is so easy to have, we can find that actually we're a long way away from the kind of description that's built up here in Acts chapter 2 of the way the church was. Because going to church becomes a bit more like something like going to Tesco or going to the cinema. You know, you go to Tesco because you have to and you need things, and you come to church because you maybe feel like you have to, but it's not as essential as Tesco. Or you go to the cinema because you want to be entertained, so you come to church, but it's not quite as entertaining, apart from when it goes wrong. Thanks. And if we've got that kind of attitude, and if you recognise something of that in yourself, then actually it's hard for us to jump straight to what it talks about in Acts chapter 2. It's going to be hard tomorrow to go out and sell some of your possessions to give to others. It's going to take time. But perhaps you can take steps to grow. Perhaps we can all take steps to grow in that depth of welcome and fellowship with one another. Perhaps it might be booking into the Church Away Day. Little plug there. See what I did? But the reason we do it, genuinely the reason we do it, is because we want to provide some of that time that we don't easily get together to spend time together. We eat a couple of meals together. We eat meals and we get a caterer in to do it so that no one actually has to spend all the time running around doing it, and we can enjoy spending that time with one another. We allow a good amount of time just to chat and be together, and time to look into God's word. And part of our focus actually will be how we support and help one another to grow as disciples. This year our focus has been on welcome, and we're looking at other ways that we can continue to develop that. Over the next couple of months, we're planning on running something called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which if you'd like the opportunity to get to know and get to meet some others in the life of the church, there'll be some information coming out about it soon. But it'll just be a way of linking up people with one another who maybe you don't know so well, or maybe haven't met properly before, and a chance if you're willing to host someone for dinner and get to know them a little bit better. Because great things can happen just as we share food together. And if you want to think about it some more and you haven't been part of it yet, then consider coming along to Everybody Welcome. And there's a whole bunch of Everybody Welcome courses happening through Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday evenings from October. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday evenings through October. And come and be part of that. Talk to Elsie if you want to know more. Little things that we can do to grow as part of our welcome as a church. And as they met together, as they shared with one another, actually we see that their witness flowed naturally from it. See what it says in verse 47. They praised God and enjoyed the favour of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Actually, out of their love for one another, out of the community that they built up together, their witness seemed to be a natural part. Their witness just came from it. It wasn't an activity that they went and did. It wasn't a mission. It wasn't a particular speech. It wasn't a particular focus. But actually just God did it daily as they went about living in his community life together and being the church. Actually, as we go about loving God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and loving our neighbour, our witness to those around us is something that flows from it. Actually, we become a blessing to the community around us. And we see little bits of that, we see little hints and things of that going on around us at the moment. And we're going to try and highlight some of those things more in the life of the church, where we're seeking to try and serve and to bless our community. But also want to help us to think more about how actually our witness is part of our daily lives. How you're already doing it as you seek to live for Christ. As you seek to walk to a different beat to the world around you, shaped not by the pressures of the culture, but shaped by God's word. And how actually we begin just through the things that we do and the way that we live to witness to Christ. And how we can help one another to further that as well. Their witness was a natural part of the life of the church. But there was also something else going on in the life of the church then, which is perhaps more challenging for us. Verse 43 says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. That we see the sense of actually God doing amazing things, God doing exciting things, and people just being in awe and wonder of what was going on. And perhaps we find that difficult because, well, we don't have that sense that as we walk down the street, people are in awe and wonder of what happened at Slough Baptist Church on Sunday morning. Or people haven't heard stories about how God has done this or that in someone's life or in the community. And we don't feel there's that quite sense of awe and wonder at what goes on with church. More, I'll let you fill in what people think goes on in the life of the church. More dull and boring than awe and wonder, perhaps. And perhaps some of that is because, well, we're not very good at talking about the things that do happen. When was the last time you told someone who didn't know God that you've had an answer to prayer? Or that you heard about someone being healed. or that God spoke to you in some way. We're perhaps not always very good at sharing those things because, well, we know we're in a pretty skeptical world. And we know people are skeptical about these things. But I think if I'm telling someone about God, I'd much rather tell them about a God I believe in who can do anything. A God who's powerful enough to intervene and to change our circumstances in the here and now, than to try and downplay God because I think they might find him hard to believe in. I'd much rather tell them about a God who can work miracles, who can speak to us, who we can know daily, who can change our circumstances, our situations, who's able to heal, than to tell them about a God that sounds powerless and weak. So perhaps we can be better at speaking of the things that do go on. But also, I don't believe we see as much as what's going on at this point in the life of the church. That we are in a different season. And it's not to say that God doesn't do these things and doesn't have the same power, because if you read about some of the things going on in other parts of the world, in some parts of the world where the church is growing hugely, we see amazing things happening and all sorts of stories and all sorts of wonderful things going on. And we praise God for that and give glory to him and recognise how he is working. And there does seem to be this element that at some points in church history, in different points of the church, there's God is doing particular things in particular places at particular times. So let's take a little lesson from actually what the disciples and the church did here. They devoted themselves to prayer. And let's pray and ask that God would work these same kind of signs and wonders in our world today. That he might come and work here. And that once again we might walk down the street and meet people who are in awe and wonder at the kind of things that God has been doing, at the things that they've heard about. And it's not things that we can force to happen or we can make to happen, because of course it's only done by the grace of God. And so we can pray and we can ask him to be at work today. I was challenged by the team who went to Varna and came back and told us some of the stories about the church in Bulgaria and the church in Varna and what they had been doing, and kind of some of the almost challenges that they'd set themselves, it seemed. The one that particularly stuck with me was when they were building the church. And forgive me if you already heard this story, but when they were building the church and the roof needed to be laid and it needed to be dry in order for the roof to be laid. But it had been raining for days and days. And so George, the pastor of the church, said to the builders, "Right, you come on this day and it will not rain. Get everything ready. Make sure you're ready to lay the roof on this day because it isn't going to rain on this day." And then, if I get the story correct, he then went to the church and said, "We better pray that it doesn't rain on this day." And they got together, they devoted themselves to prayer, and it didn't rain. What things is God calling us to step out in faith and to pray for, that he would work signs and wonders amongst us and amongst our community as we seek to witness to the whole world around us? But I want to finish with the start of the passage. This whole section begins, "They devoted themselves." They devoted themselves. What would it look like for us to be devoted? They gave Jesus and his family their full attention. This was a day-to-day reality for them, not a once-a-week routine. As they were meeting together, as they were caring for one another, as they were worshipping, as they were studying the scriptures, as they saw God increasing their number daily. This was part of their day-to-day life. What does that look like for us? What does it look like for you? Because church isn't somewhere that you go. Church is us. It's you and it's me. We are his church. And we can all be part of how we glorify God together. We can all be part of how we bring glory to God. As the first church here we read about in Acts chapter 2, we can all be part of that today. We all have things to offer. We all have God's calling upon our lives. We're all able to be part of this welcome, this worship, this witness. God wants to use every one of us And he calls us to be devoted to him and to one another. So, may we glorify God together as we move into this next season of the year. May we be a people who offer a welcome to the whole world, who are a witness to the whole world, and who bring worship from the whole world. And may we do it together.